The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Yeah, that's not one of my ambitions, to feed the whole street with kale. Hello, it's my daily dinner with kale here. Steve Martin's joined.
Steve's on.
Steve Johnson. Yo, Steve. You managed to stay awake last night after your quarantine disco online and your party time.
I remember going to bed last night, which is good.
That's good. Oh. So you didn't wake up with the clothes on with pizzas in your slippers.
No. I was naked last night.
All right, Steve. You don't need that. Okay, for the clothes option to get this podcast right, actually hooked up and on the air, is no mean feat. Yesterday, this is how it went. Podcast availability, boys. Steve, yes. Right, times, I can't do after, kind of, apparently it's like a weightlifting class, right, weightlifting class, it's 6, pizza, I can't do a bit before 6, Paddy, Steve can't do after 6, or in the morning, I'm going to the post office early, says Pad, about 7, and then pizza, I've got to be in the B&Q queue, so early, first of all, yeah. Why are you going to, and then pizza is saying, that's early times for post office, Pad, isn't it? And then I said, don't worry about that. No one cares about the post office, James. What time can we get together for the thing? And then Pete goes on, that's probably a sorting office, Pad, isn't it? Yes. And then they go on a separate conversation. I don't care. Post office, sorting office, I don't care. What time can we meet up for a podcast? There's Peter. Is that a regional or is that a hub there? What is that kind of sort of office there? I don't care. Paddy's in the queue for his weightlifting steroid, anabolic steroids and leotard at the sorting office. Can we just get a time sorted?
Yes, I was quite flexible.
Apart from your warm-up, Steve, your online disco is at 7, but you can't do the podcast at 5. What do you do beforehand? I don't understand.
You don't understand. It's like
I don't understand.
It's like doing a live show. You've got to mentally prepare yourself for this kind of stuff and make sure all the buttons work and everything.
Well, that last live show I used to do on radio was to rock up at like 10 to 6 and 6 o'clock we're on air. What's the problem? Feeling like 10 to was quite...
You've got to remember, I'm the host, the engineer, the everything. So, you know...
Okay, all right. Well, so anyway, and then even getting you on here, and I'm trying to call Pete and Paddy show me pictures of his kale that he's growing in his garden. And turns out, why is Paddy going to the sorting office? Why, Pad?
I had to get some nets for my kale.
Some butterfly nets.
Butterflies.
What has life become, boys? Life in the lockdown. Paddy's getting in the queue at 7 in the morning at the sorting office for butterfly nets. Nets, yeah. And Pete, why are you going to B&Q so early?
Yeah, get some DIY material for, home improvement.
Don't the old people go really early?
Exactly. That's what we are. That's what we come, boys. When we are, when you're younger, you don't care, you just rock up any old time. You don't think about this. But when you get to the stage where I've got to get there early before the main people come, you're in the queue for the post office, sorting office, you've realised you've become a middle-aged person.
That is down to the lockdown. I wouldn't normally think like that. But it's just only going to get busier, isn't it?
Hang on, Pete, how old are you?
12.
No, exactly. You are getting towards middle. It's not only that, it's the physical age, it's the mindset as well. You are. Yes. Got to get down to the bit of queues. Yes, now, because a lot of people turn up late.
Yeah. Well, I've been up since 5.
Yes. You're a classic for that, Justin, let's be honest.
I am a classic. I've always had to go up early, getting to
your 10 years ahead of us.
Yeah, I know, but but it gets into your. After a while, it does. If you do like a breakfast show of 10 years, you can't not get up early. I still get up early now.
Yeah, I'm wide awake at 5:30 every day, so let's make use of the time.
Yeah, let's go get butterfly nets. Yes!
Yeah.
Wait, hang on, what are you going to do? You're not catching butterflies, you're stopping butterflies, are you?
Yeah, they lay their eggs on kale, so you got to protect it.
That's nature, the pad. Imagine having laying baby eggs on kale. That's nature. They can't get any more close to nature than that. You imagine my babies. I raised my babies on kale. Yeah.
See, me and Pad have this. We had a conversation about the squirrels in our garden as well. How much?
Oh man, don't start me on the squirrels. Oh, God,
they're terrible, aren't they? People think squirrels are lovely little things. So
vermin. Them,
but there you are.
Vermin.
Yeah.
Well, people say they've rats with a fluffy tail, so but a little different from rats. So, talking about nature, guys. Listen to this. Mm. You like this seamlessly into stocks and shares, right? Deadheading. Yeah. We didn't talk about this. We had a discussion on WhatsApp about this, and I kept saying to you, guys, you've got to get rid of your losers. You've got to get... And I said, I've got a great analogy, and I didn't come up with the analogy, because I forgot, because we were talking about sorting offices and stuff, and regional spots and hubs and all that stuff. But deadheading, if you don't know what that is, it's the popular practice of flowering shrubs. So basically, the process of removing, fading, or spent blooms, you know, because you've got a stalk there and you've got some dead head, dead sort of things. And the reason why you do that, you just leave them on, it's fine. No. Same with stocks and shares of your portfolio. I said to you, get rid of your losers. And you said, we don't worry, you know, they may come back. I said, no, they don't. Because you're wasting your energy and time on this. And not only that, there's a bit of cash maybe in there, but your hope and your cash and your energy are being sucked up by these dead heads, right? Get rid of them. And that spare cash, doesn't matter how much it is, can be diverted to the winner. The big winner, the bloom that's, you know, really growing fast and blossoming, that there, you can, you know, give it all your attention and effort rather than spend time with these losers in your portfolio that are diverting energy and cash. And honestly, a clean portfolio makes for a clean mind, and you just got to be decisive. Just get rid of those stocks. Those Steve, be collecting them for like, how long have we been doing this podcast now? I mean, 10 minutes, I know, but I mean, generally in history, how long have we been doing it for?
Too long.
Yeah, but you know, it's nice though. Like, if your boy's got any old ones that you don't want anymore, I'll have them.
So one share that has done very well over the last few weeks is Open Orphan. So I got rid of that under this advice several months ago.
Now it's more than double what it was. No, but hang on, that was never.
I held on to that.
No, hang on, that was never going to be a loser debt. Open Orphan. I mean, the dash for cash.
Told me to sell it.
No, I said.
You told me to sell it as well. So yeah.
No, I said. In that category, right? In that category of... I'll explain. So in that category, right? I said, come up this portfolio model. It's available to download it, but for free, the spreadsheet. We've got three categories of stocks, right? You've got pre-revenue, and then you've got... they're going to be revenue generating, and then you and loss making. But then you've got fast growers that are profitable, okay? And then you've got the big caps at the top there. Now, I've assigned... a sort of risk reward to those kind of thing, and the reward pretty much for the pre-revenue are like you want to aim for clear path, 10-bagger path, and I mean you can see the line from where they are now to being a 10-bagger, and two companies that do that are Polarian and Salt Lake Potash. You can actually write down, and going through the BFS and also the models they have, you can see how they can get a 10-bagger, right? But you want to aim for a 3-bagger status pretty much because you don't overshoot. Now, at the time, the metal carpet open was going up, and at the time, now the story has changed now, they weren't focusing on their challenge model and COVID wasn't around. Now, that challenge model, basically come up with the vaccine and all that stuff, that is 10-bagger material. I don't know how they're going to get there, but it's still very risky to come up with that anyway. But they were more focusing on services, all right? So services, yeah, it's a profitable business. Is it 10-bagger material? From where they were at 50 million market cap. I said, not really, to 500 million, no. So that's why I said, but that, no, I don't mean that. I mean, and that company was never failing. I'm talking about the failing deadheads in the portfolio. They've been failing for a long time, like the ones that Steve's had for a long time, and you, Pete, I think got a few in there. You know, basically, you've held on to, like the Motive Bios, all these kind of companies, and they're never going to come back. Advanced Energies, you know, barring a miracle, they're never going to come back. Just get rid of them.
I haven't got any like that.
So do you see the difference though? Open Orphan is a winner. Yeah. It's thriving. It's not one of the deadheads that's been there around for ages. It's doing very well, and also Cahill very good at pivoting towards what's working, and he seeks that out.
I held on to that, but I think the thing is, what you are, you're very kind of black and white. So it's kind of like racist. All or nothing, and whereas I think our approach between us is more kind of like, well, I don't have to get rid of all of that. And other than like cleaning up your portfolio and all right, potentially limiting sort of some loss of value of your portfolio, but it's a small amount because it might be 2% of your portfolio value. Apart from just having a tidier portfolio, really getting rid of a few of those dead heads, as you'd call them, what else, what other benefit is there?
You're just a clean freak. It's focusing your energy. Honestly, I guarantee you perform better if you just get rid of those trash.
No, I
just it's like tidying up your room there, right? Brushing all the rubbish in your room or your house into the corner. say, oh, why don't you check that out? No, it's all right, because the room looked...
You were saying that about a lot of my stocks, including, you said, get rid of it all, get rid of BT. And, like, last week, you were like, oh, actually, no, BT could come back.
Hang on. But this is the difference. And do you know what? And this is the difference. Yeah, BT, for example.
So you've already gone back on what you said, because you told me to sell BT about 3 years ago.
We sold BT, what, 2 years ago, was it, I think? 2 years ago, I sold
about a year ago.
Okay, and recently, last week, I was talking about looking for a utility company, right? Because in this day and age at the moment, we haven't had financial fallout yet. People just think, oh, this is it, this is fine. I genuinely think the market's going lower. I don't see how it can't go any lower because we haven't seen... We're talking about one of the worst recessions in history, and yet we haven't dipped below an average recession yet level. So I don't see... I know the stimulus is about 5 times as big. That may sort of mitigate the problem, but I still think we're going lower. And I think when we have, what's going to happen? We're going to have a relentless months of bad news coming from companies. Relentless, and it's overwhelming. It'll be of companies just saying, you know, even when they're back and the lockdown's lifted, they will say, okay, when the worry of the vaccine or the coronavirus has faded, all you'll have is financial news, bad financial news coming out non-stop, and I just think the market will grind lower. And I wanted a utility with recurring revenue that wouldn't be affected by this, and I thought BT was the one recently. And I bought some, right? It went up a little bit, and then, do you know what? I went to the balance sheet, said, put it through all through my spreadsheets and all that it's not growing at all. It's like, it's literally, I know on a valuation level, it's not bad, but my spreadsheet is set up to look for growth companies that are growing. And for the big companies...
If they hive off Openreach and things like that, surely that...
But again, you shouldn't just,
base it on that.
So I looked at it, thought, okay, they're not bad. They've got a pension problem, really, but I mean, that's not factored in. But I looked at it, and even though they were earning $2.5 billion last year, and they're on a PE of 4, pretty much... the reason why that's happening is because they haven't grown for years, and every year basically the revenue goes down by like 2-3%, their profit goes down by 2-3%, and they're not changing it around. I thought, in that light, they may bounce technically, but that's not what I'm after. I mean, I even changed my filter now for big cap companies, saying, if you look at a big cap company, you have to look at its revenue go up by 5%, its profit go up by 5%, and its dividend up by 5%. And that way, you'll stay away from bad businesses. So, When I'm looking for companies, I want good businesses. I don't want to look at bad businesses that may technically bounce or have a big bit of a trade in it somewhere. I want to look at sustained... I want to invest in companies now that can hold for 3 years, pretty much, and they'll grind higher. I know they'll grind higher. And that's why there's a chance to get into the Greggs, for example, the Auto Traders, the Barrett Developments, those kind of companies that have grown for years, and now they've had a pullback because of this lockdown. But they will resume within the next 3 years. We'll probably get back to normal-ish, next 3 years. And so, at the moment, they're quite cheap. I'm looking on forward earnings. So I don't want to just buy rubbish companies. Like BT, yes. I mean, at the time, we were just looking for big cap companies. But now, a lot more forensic about it. And I thought, I've just been looking through these filters. I thought, if you stick to that, and even I can't stick to it, I've been topping up this week on companies. I shouldn't be topping up. And that's the thing. Having a plan is one thing.
Right.
Sticking to it is another thing. I get carried away sometimes. But I mean, I bought BT and sold it a couple of days later. Because, first of all, I messed up my plan of 3 big cap companies. I had 4 with them. I thought, no, I don't want that. I don't want that because, revenue goes down. Profit growth is down 12% last year. Cash growth down 7%. Profit margin down. Revenue down. That is not a company that's doing that well, I mean,
but isn't there a risk that you're being too strict, which explains goes back to the whole deadhead thing and our portfolios. If we've got some losers in there or whatever, potentially one of these, it doesn't bother me having that in there. It might come good, it might fall away, it doesn't matter, because it's kind of
you're like one of these anal people who bleaches the whole kitchen every day.
Exactly, yeah.
If there were more people like that around, we wouldn't have this problem with the vaccine. This drug, this virus. But you know what? Did you see that thing? Isn't that a good idea? I think I'm a bit mad about it, but I said, surely, right? You go to the pub toilets, and they've got those little things going, and they spray out a bit of mist, a mist is a scent, essentially. Toilets meant to smell nicer. What's the point of that? But they meant to make the toilets smell. Why don't they have these everywhere, more industrial versions of these, in shopping malls, in airplanes, just going, antiviral mist in the air that every 15 minutes, obviously it's not...
Sanitizers.
Is that a thing?
Well, no, it should be a thing, surely, because then social distancing and plane travel doesn't go together. It's not going to happen. You're not going to take those seats. They're not going to do it. You can't afford to do that.
I'm not sure there's such a thing as antiviral mist. That's what I'm saying.
I'm not sure that's how viruses...
Hang on. Tristel, for example, right, in their biggest customer is the NHS, right? They wipe down surfaces and stuff and it kills... The
virus. That's called bleach. You can't spray bleach into the air.
No, but there must be something. Well, hang on. There is things. The stuff you spray in your thing, that goes in your lungs. The stuff you spray in your kitchens or antibacterial stuff, that goes in your lungs.
Well, tell you what, you go downstairs and spray some of your kitchen spray into your mouth and see how it goes.
I'm talking about so fine a particulate matter there, right? That literally, it's mist. You don't even notice it. It's airborne. Did you see that study saying most people only catch this airborne when you actually breathe? If you're in a high density area, NHS workers getting lots of it in the air. It's in the air because they wash their hands anyway. Washing hands is very important, yes, because you may touch your face. But most of it's airborne. And in a shopping centre, for example, these little things, just every 50 seconds, is that right? And it'd kill everything in the air.
How does it go?
You've obviously found a market here, Jester. I would float yourself and, come up with this invention.
I think you'd probably be killing more people through the respiratory diseases that they're going to get catched by breathing in bleach in a shopping centre.
That's all right. That's all right. We need this population anyway. That's half the problem. You know, that's
Trump,
a big problem.
Trump would back you on that, I'm sure.
Mm. Yeah, I'm sure Trump would. Yeah, I see him do the press conference. Fantastic idea. In the air. Bleach in your face.
Did anyone see him this week when he was saying about his mask? I think it was at a Ford factory. Yeah. And he said he didn't want to wear the mask because he didn't want the press to catch him wear it. I'm like, what the fuck's that?
I know, and it wasn't because he looked stupid.
He's hilarious,
he didn't want the press to catch. It wasn't because he looked stupid. He didn't want to give him the benefit of showing that he's wearing a mask, bending to the virus. It's unbelievable. You know, sometimes we worry what we say if we say something stupid. This guy says it every day, and he's the president of the States. You know, president is the biggest country in the world, biggest economy in the world. So why should we worry at all? So if you have any failure of confidence, just think of Trump. In my mind, he's inspiring. He doesn't care what he says, and he gets away with it. And you've got, the most brilliant people around the world looking and analysing what he says all the time, but he still says it. Doesn't matter. Anyway, listen.
What's the frog in hot water thing? Like if you put a frog in hot water and turn it up slowly, then it won't notice. So like we've all been desensitized to this absolute madness, and the same thing happening over here with this lot, where like more and more and more of this stuff happens that would normally have been enough to overthrow a government or for a president to resign, and just carries on, and we're just oblivious.
One thing I would say that I've only caught bits of it in the last few weeks at PMQs is that finally we've got a decent opposition in place, and Keir Starmer is great. He's got a legal background as well, that helps, doesn't it? But interesting, holding the government to account, and like
it shows Jeremy Corbyn was rubbish. Keir Starmer is better, but he is his forensic lawyer. He isn't that good. Again, that inspires me. If he was at the top of his game, I think he's not that sharp. Honestly, he's not that sharp at all. He's just half decent compared to Jeremy Corbyn.
He's a lot better than we've had for a long time.
Yeah, even this week, though, he's that forensic. Like you said, he actually, Boris Johnson gave him an answer to a question, and he answered it just draft, he was looking down his paper. Didn't even pay attention to what Boris Johnson was saying. But if you're that good, you'd go off the answer. You wouldn't just, read out a scripted question. Anyway, listen to with deadheading, right, you've got to preserve cash, and that's what I'm saying. Deadheading, you've got to preserve cash. And if you notice at the moment, lots of companies, why do I think the market's going lower? Okay, we're talking about negative interest rates, never been done before, ever. We've had bonds in the UK go negative in the yields. People are borrowing money, supplying money to the government, and then getting negative money back, based interest on it, right? This is historic times. If you look at all the companies right now, raising money, equity, big companies, FTSE 100 companies, rights issues, everywhere, they're raising money. They're battening down the hatches, they're bringing cash on board. You need to copy them as a private investor. They know what they're doing. They're doing it early. And this is early. We aren't into this yet. And like Paddy said about desensitized, we've become desensitized pretty much to the deaths going on. And that happens after a while. You get desensitized, it's 300 deaths yesterday, big deal. It used to be 800. And you don't care anymore. And so even all the bad news, you get desensitized to. But when you start getting these earnings coming out, honestly, for months on, months on, months on end, they're worse than the last, say, 5, 10 years, or even 20 years. The market will start grinding lower, and I don't care how much the Fed starts pumping in, even though their balance sheet is now up to $7 trillion, they pumped in $103 billion last week, that was down from $212 billion. If the demand isn't there, if people are skint, And like in America now, a quarter of the workforce are unemployed. I don't know if you saw that Business Matters BBC podcast. I listened to that, and there's the guy on there. And the whole thing is, we know the figures are bad at the moment because we've shut down the economy. Of course, no one's shopping. No one's going to be surprised that no one's out retail shopping, or the retail shopping figures are down, worst ever, because you can't go into a mall. Or, you know, so it's no surprise. What we want to know is how many people will go back to work and how quickly. That's how fast we will recover. And this guy on this BBC Matters program was saying, we're thinking around about 30 to 40% of people will go back to work. It takes years and years for a lot of people to get back to work. The more the longer you're out of work for, the harder it is to get back into work. They call it something like hysteriosis or something. But it's taken us 10 years to build up that 22 million people of unemployment from the great financial crash, and we've lost that in a month. And so that's why it's not going to be a V-shaped recovery. It takes a long time to recover. So this is what I think. Get cash on board. Do some deadheading because you'll need it. You know, it's horrible to say this, but there's some great opportunities comes out of recessions. And we're not at the start of this yet. People think we've bounced and that's it. We're going back to normal. We're not. I genuinely think we've got months now of volatility, but I think we will test. We'll have those big down days. We'll have a couple of companies falling over that were unexpected, you know, that would go bankrupt, and it'll be scary. And times again. And you said that survey on cash I put out yesterday, you got decent response, about over 1,000 votes.
Yes.
A one-day survey saying how much are you holding in cash, and the options were below 25%, and there's four categories. So above 75% was the highest. And then I was quite surprised. 13% of people have over 75% in cash. That's quite bearish, you know. 64% said they had less than 25% in cash, which is not surprising, because if you hold 25% in cash, it's still a big chunk of cash, isn't it? I mean, that or less. So there are some people that always trade through it. But I come to this realization that stop being obsessed with the indexes, and I have a little bit, the indices, you know, looking at NASDAQ and S&P, because it doesn't help. Because the S&P now, 20% of the S&P is made, and there's 500 companies in the S&P, right? 500. And yet 20% of the market cap of the S&P is FANG stocks plus Microsoft. So Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Google, and Microsoft. 20%. So when you see that sort of not falling down and only 10, 15% below those highs, it's because those Amazon are doing very well. Microsoft are doing very well. Facebook are doing okay, you know. Netflix are doing very well. So it's going to, and Google as well. They're going to be held up by that. So ignore that. It's a stock market. It's a market of stocks. I don't bet on the indices. So why am I looking at the indices? Why am I obsessed with them? Why are we all obsessed with them? We look at stocks. We invest in stocks. Unless you're a spread better than indices, look at stocks, you know?
But they give you a barometer, aren't they?
A skewed barometer. Like the NASDAQ is only 6% down from its all-time highs. Next 6% down from its all-time highs.
The American market with the FANG stocks are like that. FTSE is slightly different because we don't have that monopoly, if you like, of...
Do you know, Russ Moll said this yesterday, which is nuts, I think it was Russ. He said, you know, the FANG stocks plus Microsoft, they're bigger than the FTSE 100 index.
Yeah, mad.
That is crazy, isn't it? So that shows how big they are. Our biggest 100 companies in this country. There's like 5-6 stocks in America just bigger than them altogether.
Going back to this thing of your prediction that we're going low and all the rest of it, and I did say this week on the WhatsApp group, is that there are some stocks that we've been looking at, like Greggs and whatever, and they've had a bit of a roller coaster recently, and they've dipped down, but then they've kind of come back up again and all of that. Whereas, if it's going to be a sell-off, that could be one to get into, hopefully, you know, if it comes further down, that would be great. But at the moment, it feels it's quite hard to get into at a good price. Whereas other stocks, banks, for example, have been hammered down, haven't really recovered as such. Well, no, haven't recovered. And they may go lower, but it feels like you know, some of that bad news is priced in with them. So maybe those kind of stocks are ones to start buying now, potentially, rather than and wait for things like Greggs and others that we've been looking at to kind of wait for the bigger sell-offs. Or do we sort of just scale it anyway? I don't know.
Well, banks, the trouble with banks is it, right? Is that they are a play on the economy. Now you can see what the problem is here. You know, there's been talk, even the Bank of England have said, we haven't taken negative interest rates off the table. So that's an option still. I don't know if they'll do it or not, but that's a tax on banks. Banks earn their money in the gap from what the base rate is to what they can lend at. And there can't be massive gap there. Like Steve, actually, looking at the mortgage rates this week, and they're what? I think the highest one was 1.75% or something like that. And the base rate is 0.1%. So that's 10 times, that rate you're borrowing out there is 10 times the base rate. But even then, it's only just over 1% of margin, that gap between what they can borrow at, the banks, and what they're going to lend to you at. So that margin will get squeezed and squeezed. Again, negative interest rates. In Europe there was people getting mortgages, they were being paid to borrow money. So the banks were earning money off fees and stuff. So that's why it's worrying about the banks. It's time frame, isn't it? They'll take a lot longer to recover. But once we do see recovery, they'll bounce out faster. But at the moment, I think Greggs, for example, they'll open back up. They won't be at full capacity, of course, but they'll still get revenue coming in. They've got decent margins, and I can't see it being that far off, a couple of months before they're back to almost full capacity. I don't know what the sales will be like, but most of their shops could be open the next couple of months, couldn't it? Like banks will suffer for a long time.
Why they're not on Uber Eats.
What's that?
Confuses me why they're not on Uber Eats or Deliveroo. They do very well out of that.
But let me say one thing. Banks also, though, right, know there's going to be a lot of people, bank companies, everything, not paying back loans, going bust.
The buck
stops somewhere. The buck stops normally with the bank. So they are capitalised very well. But
where you're saying in the coming months, unfortunately, you could see some big companies go under and whatever, and that could be a trigger for a sell-off and all of that. Those are the opportunities, potentially, that the Greggs or whatever might take a bit of a hit, just as an impact across the market. They might all come down, and then that'd be the opportunity to buy those kinds of stocks. The banks, because some of it has been priced in already, I'm saying perhaps won't drop quite as far, so it's kind of feels safer to buy them now and wait for other stocks to come down as and when sell-offs happen. I don't know. I'm just saying, I'm trying to predict, or have a plan for when things are, if they go to plan or go to how you're foreseeing it, that this is only a sell-off, what is the tactic? So you kind of go, right, you've got your target stocks and you're waiting then for them to come down to a level to buy, whereas things like banks I might get into now.
Yeah, but this is why I've been looking for a utility, right? I want to diversify. This is about diversification, really. It's good to have a bank, yes, because at the moment they're at historic lows, they're at great financial crash lows. And you think, well, can they recover? Maybe, but I can't see interest rates going up very quickly, in the next few months, or even years. So it's going to take a long time to recover for banks, but also we don't know how much a lot of them put aside a lot of money, billions. Like I said, the Wall Street banks have put around 20, 30 billion aside for loans going bad, but it's my diversification. That's why I said I want a utility. That's why at the moment I swapped out this week a company in my mid section, the growth companies. I thought I want companies, right? So that's why I said don't get obsessed with the indices, look at stocks. Now, what stocks do we know, and we talked about this, will do well in this situation, will not be affected by this situation, it will not only survive, but even thrive maybe in this situation, And I was thinking there's two companies I can think of. Tristel is one. Of course, they're not cheap, because people know this, because they're infection control, their biggest customer is the NHS. They were growing anyway at a good click, 20% growth. And yet, this was before COVID came along. So I hold Tristel. There's other sort of companies out there, of course, that do that. But I like that they were profitable, paid a dividend, all that stuff. There's also, I've been looking into it, and I bought this company before the crash, and I got out of it during the crash, and I kicked myself for doing it. Litigation, sort of company litigation, administration litigation. So Manolet Partners, I held Mano. There's quite a few of them. There's Begbies. Begbies isn't a pure play there. They've got other parts of the business, and that's why their trading statement came out this week. They've risen a bit, but they dropped off on that because they had a bit of. It wasn't all joy and wonder and brilliant outlook. There's other bits to it that may take a hit. So parts of the business will take a hit. But Manolet Partners, they are pure administration litigation. So I quite like them. They're not cheap, but they're growing at a good rate. And I think they've just, if you look at the figures, they're trading up like they did. This year, they've doubled the amount of cases last year. They're very busy. They've been able to work remotely. Most of their cases do not go to court. They settle before court. So the fact that the courts are closed hasn't really bothered them that much. Some of them go to court. Most of them and they're very successful. So that's why Mano is a good company to look at. Companies like that, there's a couple of others like that, but I like that because they were growing anyway. So that's why you need to diversify. So if you've got those companies, for example, so I've got two companies in my midsection that should thrive in this environment, not just survive. Now, in my big section, I haven't. I've got recovery plays, like Greggs, Auto Trader, Barrack development. But that's why I wanted really a thriver there, or you know, rather than just a survivor, you know.
But then Mano, for example, has risen strongly from the depths of in February, yeah. March. And that exactly is my kind of point. That look, oh, yeah, I've missed that now. So it's not that's now is not the time to be getting into that. But it could go much stronger.
I broke my rule again. I did not. I was watching it for ages, right? So what's annoying is I held it just before the crash. Dash for Cash, and I liked it, and I got rid of it, and I didn't have the foresight to realise litigation is going to go through the roof now. The company's going through, lots of companies going through. It's going to be a very busy year. It's going to thrive, not just survive. So you're looking for thrivers, not just survivors. You know, I mean, Greg's not like survivors. They'll do well afterwards, yes. But what will thrive? Because we don't know how long it's going to last for. So what will thrive? And those are the kinds of things that will hold up your portfolio value. So you need to diversify. So banks, yeah, they'll survive, of course. They've got good capital ratios. But it may take a long time to recover. You want thrivers and survivors, we're looking at.
Yeah, but like say, Mano, I agree with you. That's great. And obviously has risen strongly even like in the last 3-4 weeks. But that's kind of, you've got to think, well, that's short-term trading, probably people then will take profit and things, will it calm down a bit? But longer term, yeah, that could be a really good one. But it's not now, right now is not the time to be buying it. It's hopefully part of the sell-off, part of people taking profit. It might come back down to levels it was in April, March, and then that would be the time to be buying.
No, and do you know what? And that's why I broke my rule today, this week as well. I said, having rules is one thing, and I always said, wait. We did it with Greg so this recently. I said, do you know what? We sort of bought in, didn't you? And I said, well, look at the chart. It's turning over. It's going down. Whenever the RSI has gone down, you know, from 60 towards 30, you literally have weeks of it just rolling over, going down, going lower. So I wouldn't buy now, wait. But then is that instinct that you want to buy now?
That's just discipline.
Yeah, exactly. Discipline is it. And that's why you need a plan, but the discipline to stick to the plan. And I didn't. I said, well, Manu, I was watching. It was so annoying because I held it. I'd be a big chunk now if I just held it. And I didn't hold it. I dashed for cash. I panicked like everyone else. Sold, you know, did some bit of deadheading, which actually some of the... I went so crazy deadheading, I chopped off some... They weren't deadheads, they were blooming. And I thought, hang on, I didn't realise.
Right. So we've gone full circle now, haven't we? So we're back to your two OCDs.
I was in a garden with a scythe going nuts, chopping everything, not thinking, that's not a deadhead. I was just chopping everything.
And you've decimated some prize roses.
Yeah, exactly. It can be a prize winner. But
at least it looks tidy.
It looks tidy. I've got no flowers in the garden, but it looks very tidy.
Yeah, it's barren garden.
Who is rubbing their mic? Are you rubbing your mic on your chest or your chin pad? What are you doing there?
It's not me.
It's me. It's me. I'm in bed still, that's why.
Stop moving. Steve, that's not good. If you're in bed, you'd be still.
I was just doing a little stretch, sorry.
How many stretches do you have in there?
Well, you know. Every now and then I do a little one, you know.
Listen, so you boys are not in Tristle, you're not in Manlet Partners. They're very good businesses. Now, these are not one trick ponies that are just working because of the COVID thing. That's what I'm saying. I bought Mano before this happened. They were doing very well. Let me get their portfolio. They were growing at a fair old clip way before this happened. So what I'm saying is you want businesses that were doing well, and this, if anything, will help them along even faster. Tristle were doing well before this, and this will help them go even faster. The trend now, that trend they were on anyway, has become stronger. Like, look at Mano before this, right? Yeah. The last set of results, their revenue growth is up 15%, their profit growth is up 42%, cash growth 214%, profit margin growth 23%, retained earnings growth 226%. These are net current asset growth of 110%, net asset growth 203%. So they were growing massively before this ever happened. So now
they're actually called Mano.
Well, that's the ticker. Mano.
Manolet Partners.
So that's the ticker.
Our old boss was called Mano, wasn't he? I find it hard to take them seriously.
Mano, yeah. Anyone with an O on the end, you know.
Mano.
Biffo. Jeffo. Yeah.
Mano.
So, you know, companies are doing well. You just want survivors, you want thrivers, just to keep the portfolio, you know, your portfolio value at a good level. So all you need is, if you've got 9 stocks and you've got 3 stocks that are literally, you know, thriving in this environment, and the others are surviving, that'll keep your value up there, you know. This is and a sort of fund as well, a decent amount of cash.
Another along similar lines, one we've talked about a lot is Boohoo. Again, have risen strongly, but if you think about it, if we're going into recession, if we're getting the financial fallout, they're going to take a hit because people will have less money to spend or inclination to spend on clothes and whatever.
Definitely.
So that in theory could come back down, calm down in 3-6 months time, and then that could be a time to buy because there's a strong business there. It's just
I don't know. Like Sports Direct did very well in the last recession, didn't they? And then it's only recently that they've that started to come apart a bit. Maybe like bricks and mortar retail will have a really tough recession this time. Yeah. And if you're set up entirely online, you actually might do pretty well. I mean, they're pretty cheap. It's if you're going to buy clothes in a recession, that's probably where you'd go.
Yeah, do you know, Boohoo, maybe. I don't believe in that. I don't believe that trading. I don't know why. I just think, I can't see. Do they have any figures in that, or did they just say they were doing well? Because they are now, let me look at the chart on Boohoo, they're back to where they were before.
Yeah, I know, they're all-time high.
It's like, I can't see how. Oh, do you know what? No, they're going to roll over. They've tried to get that all-time previous high. They haven't quite got there. Or they did recently. Doing double top now. But no, I can't see how. I just can't see. I can't see it. I mean, when people are going out and partying, all that stuff, or you're going out the weekends, that's where you buy clothes for, don't you? And that's what Boohoo's about. It's not about, you know, workwear, is it? It's more about party wear.
I don't know. I think in the last recession, it was the same with the sort of with the gym industry, wasn't it? Like there was a big switch away from going out for big nights out, and everyone started to take care of themselves a little bit more, and so gyms did pretty well. And so if you're going to go to the gym, you want to have some nice sort of active wear. I think they just changed what they were buying rather than not buying anything.
Yeah, yeah. And do you know what? Again, look at Boohoo at the beach.
Not everyone just sits in their garage all day. So, you know.
But but I can't see how they can. No, but what I'm saying is like for likes. If you do like for likes, okay? I just don't see how people with the worry. Now, I don't know who Boohoo's, you know, target clientele are. But if you go to the website, you probably have a good guess. But, you know, youngish people. Now, people who are worried about their future and got rents to pay or mortgages to pay, and not going to be spending on Boohoo, are they? I don't know. Are they or not? I mean,
No, I don't think so. No.
So I don't see. I don't see how their like for likes are as good as when, you know, like going back. Look, if you go to their site straight away, big weekend, they don't miss out, up to 60% off. There's young girls there. There's girls in their 20s. These ladies.
Hey, look, they're selling joggers for like £13. Like it's not. This isn't like big. Expenditure. This is
tops definitely from £4.
Yeah, drops. Yeah, dresses from £4. Tops from £4. They're best from. But exactly. That's when you got someone that's selling at big discounts. Have you heard this though? This is the problem. When we go back online now and everything gets lifted, all these clothes retailers are going to have to shift a lot of stock at very cheap amount because they've just been sitting there. They got this season's fashion. The season, you know, is going out of favour straight away. So you're going to see a lot of these companies discounting massively. That'll knock their margins, and obviously that goes to the bottom line. So I think Boohoo's going to be knocked. I definitely do. I can't see how it's.
Yeah, but the price before the discount was like £8 for a T-shirt. I mean, this is sort of Primark prices. It's not.
If you look at Boohoo's margins, though, they're not good. It's like they are thin. You know, they're volume, aren't they? They're volume sales. So they've got to do the volume because they haven't got a lot of margin there. So I don't see how. And they've just raised £200 million as well, though. Now, have you noticed everyone's batting down their hatches? What I liked recently is see, At the Beats raised money, £67 million they raised, which is 20% of their issued share capital. So 20% of the company they raised, pretty much, no discount whatsoever. That shows a company with a lot of backing. The capital, I do like that. I think they'll come back again. There's lots of companies. Do you know what? At the end of the day, it's about the price. Shares are about prices. Don't get tempted into a company. What you need to have is like for example.
Hello, that's what I've been saying.
That's the obvious thing. Is it buy low, sell high? It's the biggest saying in the stock market. And that on its own, that saying is easy to understand until you get involved in the stock market. Emotions get involved. You watch a company you like and you think, I've got to get in. It's going to go nuts. And that's why I did only put a little bit in, Manu, because I'm expecting to come back down. And like Tristel now, Tristel is turning over. Because at the end of the day, it's all it's about. You can buy, and I've always said this, a rubbish company at a good price, make money. You can buy a good company at a bad price and lose money. So
I'm watching on the beach, and I have been, and in theory, they've done a great job there, you know, raising that money in this market, in the field they're in the sector they're in. That's incredible, isn't it, if you think about it, because the uncertainty over travel and all the rest of it. So, to my mind, they're a great one that potentially, unfortunately, in the next 3-6 months, if we have a big sell-off, they're going to get hit, because people like Mano might maintain a share price because people go, well, this is perfect for them. Whereas on the beach, it's just going to take a hit because people are going to go, well, yeah, even less people are going on holiday and booking for trips and whatever. So potentially hold fire, keep your powder dry on the beach in 2-3 months' time if there's a sell-off. Could be a great one to get into because they're obviously a good business, but they're going to get hit by the bigger picture.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, companies are valued on their earnings pretty much, and potential earnings, you know. And at the end of the day, when you're showing you're making a loss and you weren't previously and you've got cash, of course, but, you know, when it comes down to it, you are, you know, a multiple of what your assets are pretty much. And if your assets are dwindling and going down, you'll be, and you know, if you see the people are taking staycations, I've heard that that's another thing. A lot of people are going to be taking staycations this year, camping. We booked a campsite for, I think, what is it, August, right? And she was fully booked out on the August bank holiday, fully booked out already. And yet we're the weekend before, I think, or the week after. I think, who would benefit from these? Who sells camping gear? Who sells stuff? Yeah. You know, that kind of thing. Who benefits from that? You know, I mean, maybe even centre parks, or but you can't get them, they're not listed, you know. But, you know, that kind of thing. Who would benefit from staycations? That kind of thing. That, and yet, you know, all that. Yeah, so anyway, it's all about the price. It's all about, hey, I like that tweet actually about, because I've been thinking this for a while, about, NHS clapping. That guy tweeted, didn't he, on things. He said, do we have an exit strategy for this NHS clapping thing? And I think we don't have an exit strategy, because every week now I'm thinking, I don't want to do this anymore, this NHS clapping. I appreciate the workers.
Are you still doing it?
Yeah, but it's like, it's almost like, why do I, like, you know, a middle-aged man standing the opposite someone, like a middle-aged woman clapping at each other. There's no lady over there ringing the bell. I'm looking at each other. And thinking,
I did it once and thought, that's much hope.
What are we doing here? I'm ashamed into now coming out and clapping.
Let's just pay them a decent wage, eh?
Exactly. So I want to do regular surveys on the thing. I was thinking, if I put the survey out, do you think I'd get a good response? Would you prefer to pay a pound a month more in your pay packet and not have to go out and clap? Because I'm sure the NHS workers would appreciate a pound a month more from everyone in this country who are working in their tax. You know, that's, 23 million people, right, working pretty much, I think. That's £23 million a month, you know, 260 million a year increase, and pay that to the NHS, rather than just standing outside banging your saucepans. I mean, let's be honest.
We've got £350 million now that was on that bus, haven't we?
Oh, yeah, sorted. It's absolutely sorted. We'll be
but
fine.
Do you know what I thought is a bad thing is here? You know, BBC News and Sky News cover it live, and they really go to town, and there's lots of these people there, really going over the top, and I think, you imbeciles, these people are out there, you know, playing instruments now, really going over the top, dressing up, I think, just for the camera, pretty much. I think,
BBC did one this week, where they did a full interview with half of a hospital clapping in the background for about 5 minutes. And I think, get back to work.
I thought, do these people have a job to do or something? I'm sure there's people dying inside of COVID, aren't they, or not? No? I mean, exactly, that's what I thought. How can they all be outside? They did this in Winchester as well. How can they all be outside? Who's looking after the patients? But then I thought, you know, which one of these TV companies will stop broadcasting it first? Because that's the thing, isn't it? They're under pressure. NHS heroes and all this stuff. Who's going to stop broadcasting? We're not going to cover this anymore on a Thursday, because that's, you know, which editor is going to take the choice? We can't not step down, because then the Sky are still doing it, you know.
The woman who actually started it, whose idea it was, so she's now come out and said, I think next week, the 10th week, should be kind of the cut off, and that should be it. She has said that, but I'm thinking of doing is, as soon as it has finished, I'm going to start doing it every week.
Do you know what? It's the typical herd mentality, isn't it? And you see this with the people, you know, like on the beaches, the COVIDiots. And Paddy's, you know, WhatsApped a couple of these people who stand there talking about the problem, pretending they're not the problem. You know, this guy standing there with a beer, you know, I don't know whether it's Brighton or Southend. So, and he even said it. I know I'm standing here, I want a beer. Looking like I'm doing what I shouldn't be doing and telling other people they shouldn't be doing this, but I'm here, right, with the family, I'm here with all these other people out here. We're going to be locked down again if they carry on. You're insane!
It's beyond.
And this woman's on the beach having a night. She's going, it's just a nightmare. Come down here to the beach, look at it, it's like Tesco's. She took an hour and a half to get there. She'd driven.
Yes, that was it. Yeah, that was the one. An hour and a half to get there. Oh, this is outrageous.
I know. What part of this insanity do you not see? I thought it was a sketch. I mean, I'm just looking at the screen going, what? Yeah. But I mean, that's the people queuing for McDonald's. You know, queuing for McDonald's. It's like Paddy said, you can make a burger in your house. It's probably nicer as well.
I said, no wonder we get hit as a nation because we're so unhealthy. Because people's obsession with eating rubbish and all of that. And that's part of the reason we're getting hit so badly. I'm convinced of that. It's just we're not very healthy.
Yeah, I think we should do another video. I think you can't spoof something that stupid. But you know, stand there, shout to people. I can't believe you're all out here having a beer when we got this forest going round. Yes, I'm here because I'm part of the family, right? And
stop drinking.
Yeah, well, get home, all of you. And but do you know what? Just as you get older, you look at things and think it's insane. The NHS, for example, right, have been offered this app, haven't they, from Google and Apple. Now, I don't know if the NHS have heard of Google and Apple. They're probably the most successful tech companies in the world. In the world, they are market caps in trillions, pretty much. You know, they didn't get there by luck or by fortune. They're good at what they do. They're very good at tech. But NHS has got this NHSX department. They set up their own little app. No, we didn't want help from Apple and Google. Just take Apple and Google's help. They probably do it a lot better. They do it for a living. It's like that old saying, do you know Get Carter? Do you remember Get Carter, where Michael Caine was an enforcer, basically? He's an hard man. His job was to beat people up, you know? He did it for a living. And this fat guy went to have a go to him. He said, don't be stupid, son. I do this for a living, all right? And he did sort the guy out easily. He said, when you get someone who's a professional at their job, you know, just maybe take the advice, because they know, if they've proved it over years and years and years, and they've been number one in the game for years and years, don't think you can do better overnight. Just take the advice of the professionals, you know? It's worth doing. And so I just think, at the moment, we've got this track and tracing now, and they've backed out from, you know, going about using a tech app, because on the Isle of Wight, they're all inbred anyway, and they can't tell if the genes are working or not, because they've got X more genes in. But so they're going now to old-fashioned, they'll call people or text people if you've been close to people who are cold. And then, just go with Apple and Google. Just go with Apple and Google. It's a lot easier. You know, they can do it for you. It's insane, isn't it? The world is insane, and that's the trouble. We've got emotions, humans are insane, and that's why investing so hard, because it's not a case of buying low, sell high. You've got emotions in the way, you know? You've got this insanity of herd mentality.
We seem to be more insane than other places, though, don't we?
Yeah. I mean, there's people denying that we are...
The league table of insanity, us in America are pretty near the top.
Yeah, well, I think what's telling is that we... Yeah, if you look at the leaders we have, though, you know, Boris is quite eccentric, isn't he? You know, Trump is quite eccentric. It's like, they're not sensible. You should have. Trouble is, to be a good leader, you don't have the charisma and the eccentricity. A good leader would probably be a spreadsheet guy, you know, a boring guy, Phil, like the old economist. But
Gordon Brown, wouldn't it?
But they won't get there because no one likes them. They're not likable. They're very cold. Their best friends are spreadsheets. So they're not human, they can't interact, can they? What we like is tub-thumping sort of egomaniacs who've had 20 kids who no one knows about. And that's what we like. Fake tans, silly hair. You know, that's what we like, don't we? You know?
No.
Well, Tony Blair had the charisma, but also had a team under him who could do the job. I think that's the bit that's missing. It's fine having a mascot as a leader, but if the people underneath him are just incompetent as well, then you're really screwed.
He's a bit mad himself, and he's got a wild eye look, hasn't he? That eye. You know, yes, we can do that. The benefit of this.
Isn't that what?
But until work in Rack undid him, it was fine.
Sorry, Steve, what's saying?
Isn't that what Dominic Cummins, is that him? Is that his name?
He's mad.
That's supposed to be like the geek end of Boris, isn't it?
Yeah, but he's mad as well. Have you seen him? He's not really nice. He would kill you and all your family and say, no, it's good for the good of the country. And he wouldn't have any worry about that. But they're asking for a sack now, aren't they? Because he travelled during the COVID. He had coronavirus. He travelled up north.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but no.
One rule for them and one rule for the rest of us. Yeah, he needs to go.
Yeah, he's a sociopath. I mean, if you look at him, if you look at the interaction he had recently with that guy.
Sociopath. That's right. Oh, sociopath.
So, what did you say? Sociopath.
Sociopath.
He's a sociopath. How do you say it? Path, bath, bath.
I'd say path, but I'd say sociopath. Someone probably, you know. Anyway, carry on.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, no, that's it. The thing is, I'm not. Are you? Do you find it massively restrictive now, this lockdown? I don't anymore. I just think, you know, do you?
Fine.
It's just not being able to go out and see your friends and go to a pub or go to the gym, that sort of stuff. But I've adapted and, I feel fine.
Paddy Kale is your new friend.
Yeah.
So
So Steve said, I get to chat to you guys every week.
Yes. Steve said on his thing last night on his live disco. He said, "Do you know what? Lockdown's coming to an end now. It's a bit sad, that isn't it? Because he's missed doing that." So Steve, just carry on, fella.
No, I'm all right.
Quarantine disco.
Have you stopped doing it now, Steve? Is that the last one?
No, I think we've got another week or two, I think, haven't we? And that's it.
I listened to one for 5 minutes.
Yeah. Thanks.
I always have it on, Steve. I like it.
I had it on. Can you tell, Steve, the difference between me and my kids when they're texting? Yeah. Mine are quite insane. But
not
kids,
really.
I know, I was going to say. I did send my son, don't do that, you'll think I'm mad or drunk. And I thought, yeah. And I typed it, and Fred did a little coffin and a cigarette next to it emoji. So see, coffin, and I thought, well, people won't know if that's me or him.
It's a fine line, Justin.
Yeah. All right, lads, have a nice weekend. And
yes, you too.
We'll speak to you next week.
So what are we buying, Justin?
Deadhead. Get the energy. Listen, it's same your kale, but you got some withering old kale there. Get rid of it. It's sucking. It's taking the sunlight. It's taking the water. It's taking the energy. Your energy. It's just clean it up.
And concrete my whole garden. Yeah.
No. Leave the hell. No, get the healthy kale. Let it crack on, and it'll become healthier. The dirty old and soggy kale that's not doing anything. They're still taking a bit of water. Just be ruthless. Get rid of it. Deadhead. Deadhead your portfolio, guys. That's what you need to see this. Deadhead your portfolio. Get cash.
Like all the companies
are doing at the moment. Not everything, Steve.
We're selling everything.
Those 5-year losers.
The ones that make you profit.
No. Those 5-year losers.
Go back to January and sell everything.
No, those 5-year losers you've had on do it. Anything you've had on do it, you've had for like 3 years and it's over 50% down, get rid of it. It's not doing anything for your portfolio and it never will. Deadhead it, yeah. Like all the companies out there at the moment, they're getting cash on board. Get some cash, all the cash you can get. Just get it on board, because we're going down. And then that's where opportunity is. Down there is opportunity. Less risk, more reward. So I'm not saying in a bad way. I'm just saying, you know, have the resources, take advantage of that at lower levels in the market, because we will do sooner or later, I think. Have a nice weekend, guys. Speak next week. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Cheers. Bye.
Bye-bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.